I think Keenan Allen is a third down machine.
Third down machine. You're right.
Thanks to Chris Emma.
You're right.
Ian Happ and Jarrett Payton for being our guests today. We appreciate the fine work of Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell.
You're right.
Kevin Lapka for all that they do. And now, up north to Gurney, the wall at Marcus Gurney Cinema. Parkins and Spiegel are there.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. What a cool concept of a place.
Yeah, this place rules.
I mean, there's a lot of leather chairs in here and a lot of TV screens.
Yeah, it's not, this isn't a movie theater. I mean, there are movie theaters all around us. This is like an auditorium set up as a sports bar, but it's got all the comforts of the movie theater. And it is freaking delightful in here. I just want to hang out all day. Can I do that?
I think that's what they're paying us to do.
Oh, yeah. Nailed it.
I think that's the plan.
Absolutely nailed it. Guys, there are some flags on the back wall here. There's a Cubs flag. And there's a Brewers flag on the back wall.
That would make sense.
Yeah, there's no White Sox flag in sight.
White Sox flag is upside down.
Yeah, signaling an emergency. Yes,
it's in a Supreme Court justice's backyard, I believe.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's only
his wife did it.
Dispute with the neighbors. That's how she responds.
Yeah. It's common. I hate it when that happens.
Sure, you know.
White Sox.
Yeah, but this is like this today is pretty much taunting Tanny and Shane to just give up their Sox fandom and become Brewers fans immediately. Yeah. And Danny says he's close, and this might put him over the edge.
Can I be a Cub fan and a Brewers fan?
Sure.
I mean, that's a little weird.
That is weird.
It's
Let's
shame.
Say no. Let's say no.
Yeah, right. Okay. Good
Somebody
point.
Texted in that when the losing streak ends, it's existed for so long and has become such a part of our lives that Tanny should give the streak the Goodfellas treatment.
Tanny, do you have enough work? Do you have enough production work?
Yeah, nothing going on at the station in the next few days and weeks. So,
nope.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, and of course, the idea of betting and doubling down on every White Sox loss, you could have $500,000 now.
Lawrence, yeah, you saw that, right? BetMGM had the graphic last night. If you were to follow the Holmes maneuver, you'd make like almost $100,000. if you like parlayed everything and kept, you know, doubling down every day, yeah.
God, reinvest in the losses of this White Sox season. I mean, it's... We also should have seen it coming, right?
We all did see it. I mean, we all saw it coming. Like, this isn't...
Yeah, but none of us made six figures betting against the White Sox.
That's true.
But in terms of seeing it coming, doesn't it feel like years that we've been just destroying the White Sox with, you know, a new amount of vehemence every single time that something warrants it? It's like... And now, I saw the third different writer at The Athletic in three consecutive days take a stab at writing about the White Sox losing streak. The national media is flailing wildly trying to encapsulate this thing that we are living amidst and have been flailing about trying to discuss for a few years.
Oh, the great Ray Ratto at The Defector's been all over it. They're even making fun of themselves for how much joy they've gotten out of pillorying the White Sox.
Well,
the great Ray Ratto. What is his read of the situation?
Oh, it's just all throughout the year he's been weighing in with thoughts on the depths of their sadness.
In conclusion, bad. They are very, very.
It is nice though to because a lot of people over at the White Sox would have you believe that this is something that all of us want and need, and we're the only ones who think that things are bad. It is nice to have other people go, oh my God, that thing that's happening over on the south side of Chicago is pretty horrible. Someone should do something about it.
And that's the thing. It sucks. I mean, this sucks to have to talk about it like that as often as we do. Like, I'm genuinely exhausted and disgusted to have to discuss the White Sox in those terms. I want two teams, man. Every Sunday morning, I do a show where I'm like, hey, this unique two-team town. All right, let's do it. Well, let's destroy this one. And also this year, let's talk about how this one is problematic.
Let's talk about these two last place teams.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But the White Sox thing is just, it's been misery for a while now. So are Ratto and the Defector folks like enjoying ripping it apart?
They have been. So
I'm past that.
No, but the editor's note, he just adds, he said, we're riding the dead donkey that is the Chicago White Sox until they stop their current record-breaking and record-threatening losing streak.
Dead donkey.
He just refers
that funky donkey.
He refers to as our spectacularly flawed heroes, lost in typically desultory fashion to the previously Soxian and now moderately interesting Oakland Athletics. But I mean, it's just amazing. And he links in the Ozzy stuff, and he just said they do a segment, what Sox fans are saying, and all he says is, no, be silent. If you're still a fan of this team, you have forfeited the right to speak and should take your morose ass back to work. Where's your dignity?
Oh, God.
Okay.
That's mean-spirited to take it out of the fan.
Oh, no, we deserve it. Yeah.
I kind of like it. Well, two things. Lawrence, have you heard from the White Sox recently that they're mad at us? Because we know they're all-time sensitive. They're like, they're world-class in sensitivity.
No. It's just, you know, kind of been the whole thing of like, oh, well, of course, those guys. Like, we'd much rather be talking about a good team. And this isn't even that. Like, this isn't even like the Cubs this year. That's a team below 500, but still has some interesting parts. This is the worst team in baseball history that we're watching.
There's one person here so far who is clearly a White Sox fan in our audience, and he is wearing a White Sox hat and a sell the team t-shirt.
There's your combo plus.
I mean, that actually makes a lot of sense because of how culturally significant the White Sox cap is, but how awful the franchise is.
Yeah, so that
guy here is an NWA with the White Sox hat.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have an active member from NWA.
It's MC Ren. Yes.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, we bring him out. So yeah, you know, I guess they haven't all completely quit with their messaging. That's pretty good.
I was talking to somebody last night in the play-by-play business. As I set up guests.
Do you host a podcast?
Yeah, I set up guests for the rest of the year for the PBP and kind of go back over some previous stuff. And they described the television job as the face of the franchise. And I had never thought about it like that. And obviously some of the subtext was the stuff that's been going on. But like, you know, the manager is the face of the franchise, right? Because they talk so much every day and they're there every day. But in some regards, is the television play-by-play voice a de facto face of the franchise to the fans?
Yes.
Want to get your guys' thoughts on that phrase?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I would more say the voice, you know, than the hope is that you have a superstar player who is the face of the franchise. Mm-hmm. And you know that when I think face of franchise, you know, you think of Michael Jordan. You think of like players,
yes.
Ideally. So I don't look at Boog Sciambi as the face of the Cubs. I don't look at him as that.
You know,
he's your ringmaster. He's the maitre d'. I mean, there's probably a different metaphor for
Carnival Barker?
Well, he's your tour guide to things, and they are the person who it presents it to you every day. It is in your home with you, bringing it to you. So
yes.
There's something other than I think face of the franchise is a little facile, but I do think that it's a massively important role for a major league team.
Yeah, right. It's a massively important role in terms of a hire and in terms of what you're trying to represent and like the excellence you're trying to showcase, your entire, you know, your hiring process, all of that, and how you want your fans to experience your ball club on the day.
What's really unfortunate, Speaks, is like now people are like realizing by comparison when they compare it to the TV broadcast and how disappointed they are, is you're now seeing clips of Len and DJ and how good they are doing their job. And because they have to show now, hey, let's how it's done compared to how it's, you know, seen on TV. You know, so that's really unfortunate because they've always been great. DJ, I've been a fan of for a long, long time.
Me too. And I love him with Len. I also love him with Connor. I think Connor does an incredible job when he sits in and does broadcasts on the radio, and it brings like a different type of energy from DJ when DJ is calling games. It's just you know, these are some of the things. Like, it's a lot. There's a lot that the White Sox should look to fix, but it doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like any of it is priority. And the most important priority is the what you put on the field. And I think that's what's the most disappointing, like, to the fan base, where I think that there's been a good portion of White Sox fans that the infighting has been bizarre at the beginning of the year on people trying to tell them that this team is not going to be very good, and folks being like, well, what do you mean? And then seeing it play out and not just being unsurprised, but just being like, there's no hope. Like, that's when you get to the bottom of this with the White Sox, this season, there doesn't seem like there's any hope, because you know that the owner has a history of not wanting to spend his way out of mistakes, and you have no faith that the front office can develop their way out of this. So where is that? There isn't even that for anyone who is still hanging on to try and figure out where to get your hope from. There's no place to turn.
Yeah. Everybody's just kind of waiting for the owner to pass or the family to sell the team. Everybody. And even those within the org, I think, have reached a point where they're kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop. And
Lawrence, did you have Vargas as being bad? If one of the few things that you could look forward to, a position player?
He's really terrible.
I think you're right.
He is.
Because I just don't know where the bats are coming from.
Great. Well, I mean, to be fair, Tanny, he's only had 600 plate appearances.
That's true, yeah, with a really good organization, yeah. So you don't really know what he is at this point, right?
If you guys need optimism, turn to the Bears and Hard Knocks tonight. You guys did an amazing job with your bingo board.
Thanks!
It is so good. The graphic is so great.
The graphic is good. I think the graphic's probably the best part. We had nothing to do with it.
Well, I'm going to give you guys the compliment, okay. And then thanks. You can pass it along to Kevin Lapka.
There.
Because it is spectacular work. The graphic is incredible. Are you going to do a new one for every episode? Like, is this the episode one, is this the graphic for the series?
If we get bingoed out in the first episode, I think we kind of have to go back and put another one together. But we'll see.
Because they can't get all of these into one episode. So I think.
But you could get five.
You could definitely get five. Yeah, you could definitely. My only note is I would have put Kevin Warren's morning routine as the free space. That's my only note.
Because you're so sure of it?
It is 100%, Pernsey. It is a mortal lie. It might not happen episode one, but we are waking up with Kevin Warren on this show. It is a guarantee that we will know what the inside of his bedroom looks like.
He uses his exercise routine to steal his mind. And as he washes his car, yeah, right?
It is such an absolute lock. I mean, mm-hmm. it's why the show is happening.
I do like the choice of the L-trains in the opening montage as the representation of Chicago dumb. You know, whether we get deep dish pizza or whether we get the bean or we get anything, the L trains is the you can be assured of that one.
I love that L that runs up at Hell's Hall.
Yeah, me too.
It's a great line.
It's very good. Nico Horner is going to join us coming up in about 20 minutes. We are going to be talking a ton of Hard Knocks and this Bears day and everything that goes into it. Chris Emma on the show at 5. We have weird Olympic stories that I'm into and that Spiegs is into, and we got Shane and Tanny out here, and we're doing it in front of a live audience at the Wall, and it's going to be a lot of fun. People are hopefully going to, you know, win a Topgolf machine at some point today, so we got a lot of stuff to do today, boys.
Have fun, boys.
Topgolf machine.
You're the worst. Tanny's Open kicks us off. Nico Horner in 20 minutes. Come see us, the Wall at Marcus Cinema in Gurnee Mills. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.